Why stand ye here looking up to heaven? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What would it have been to be standing there, looking up into heaven, watching our Lord ascend, following his progress until finally he was a distant speck against the noon of that bright blue sky of springtime. And then some cloud carried him away out of your sight. Imagine the silence of that scene. Who would have dared break it by speech? Except for an angel. And what does the angel say? Two of them, appearing as men, dressed in white. They chide the apostles. What are you doing here? Standing, looking up to heaven. A bit like the householder. Do you remember in the gospel parable for Septuagesima? Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said nothing in word in response to those words of rebuke. They had just heard our Lord tell them, going therefore, teach ye all nations. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved, and those that will not believe shall be condemned. Quite a life's mission. Certainly it was time for them to get busy about it. And yet, the paradox, seeming contradiction, is this. How on earth can you be an apostle unless you pray? None of us can even save our own immortal souls except we pray. We have to be all the time there, looking up to heaven, because if you think of it, prayer is an extension of the ascension. We stand when we pray, lifting up our heart and our soul and our mind to God, to heaven, to the things that are above. And we know that unless we're faithful to this, we'd never be able to help out anybody else. Prayer is the unum necessarium. That's what our Lord said to Mary Magdalene. She found the one necessary thing as she looked up, seated at our Lord's feet, gazing on his face. She saw God. And that's what you do when you pray. Whether you're standing or sitting or kneeling, you see God. Without faith, though, you can't please him. That's the prerequisite, isn't it? You've got to seek him first in your own soul and say yes to him so that you can then desire to help out others. But the right faith, orthodoxy, and condemning the right things to be condemned, as we must do today, is never enough. Remember, St. James tells us that the demons believe, and unlike us, they tremble as they believe. Our faith has got to have an anima, Latin for soul. Something to animate it. And what's that if not charity? The love of God, which shows itself in the soul's senses, as it were. That means that when you pray, you must see God, or at least seek him, that you must hold him using your sense of touch, or at least desire to, as did Mary Magdalene on Easter morn. And you have to talk to him out of the fullness of your heart. He wants to listen to you. and you must listen with your spiritual ear, because he has something to say to you. And then finally, you must taste, yes, taste the hidden sweetness of our Lord. Unless we do all of these things faithfully, this is what it is to stand on Olivet and look up and pray. However could we be ourselves apostles? But if you think of it, who else would be an apostle? Who's left today? I'm afraid this is it. You're going to have to do your duty. What's a minimum of prayer? How could you boil it down? If I said daily Mass, Mass most days, and meditation, which is a pretty easy thing if you do the decades of your rosary, and to examine your conscience every day, and something in the way of spiritual reading, you would say to me, "Oh, that's for a monk or a priest, and I'm way too busy." Are you? Louis King of France, he did all of that. And Thomas More, Chancellor of England. And Garcia Moreno, the South American martyr for the rights of Christ the King. These statesmen did that and more. They recited the divine office as well. Is it impossible for us? Well, I grant you, due to the distance and the different duties of your life, for many, the first part, the Mass, would be impossible each day. But is it unimportant? Never. Do you ever wonder, it's a good thing too, why is it that we who have the true faith don't even manage to share it with the members of our own household, and that we are the minority of a minority of a minority? If not because we can't manage to save souls when we are so shallow in our own souls. Let me give you an example of something which I witness with grief each year. However can we educate our children to be saints and yet deprive them in their youth of what gives joy to their youth? The altar of God, the summit and the source of all sanctity, Holy Mass, daily Mass, any other educational system, regardless of what you may say in favor of it, must come in second place, or else we are guilty of naturalism and reducing our religion over there to a little minimum. And I stand staring not up at heaven, but at earth when I contemplate this. The world sure takes its toll on us, doesn't it? This is only one example. But if all of you would think sometimes of your lives, and sometimes of God looking up to heaven, I think you would see that you do need frequent Mass. How glorious that you came this evening. How sad that we won't see some of you again till the 15th of August. And what about the rest of it? The meditation and the rosary and the honest cultivation of virtue. I mean the business about forgiving your enemies and being generous and not complaining and offering it up and really trying to be humble and then examining your conscience in a humble way at the end of the day to see how well you've done. These are the things you have to do if you're going to stand looking up to heaven. And if you don't do that, you won't get to heaven, much less bring anyone else along with you. I grant you, it's a tall order, this life of prayer that must be ours as Christians. Wherever do you think we could start? If some of you wanted to start, I mean tonight, today, where would you start? Well, we could do worse, I think, as we leave Mount Calvary this evening, than to imitate the Jews of old on Good Friday. They went home that night beating their breasts. And that, I grant you, is a start. But remember this, the altar is also Mount Olivet, and the priest every day in the silence of the canon prays about the glorious ascension of our Lord into heaven. The ascension. How did the apostles manage that paradox? Always to be praying, and yet within a few years' time, they traveled all around the world, including America, to preach the gospel. This is their secret. I'll let you in on it. It could be yours as well. They left Mount Olivet in the company of Mary. And she, the spouse of the Holy Ghost, formed that handful. Are we really any more numerous? Formed that handful to receive the Holy Ghost in just 10 days' time. And his fire and his love was enough to take care of the rest. Go home today with Mary. You might think everything else on my little list tonight is way beyond you. Fine. Just do this. Take our Blessed Lady home with you. Start. Tell her that you want to have a real devotion, a true one, to her. And I think she will take it from there. And she'll show you in some way that will work for you, how it works, this business of our feet firmly planted on earth, and yet our eyes and our heart always on heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.